I'm trying. There we go. Okay. Making sure that my podcast is recording here. So I think that we can move forward with that. I'm done well. And I am going to give a little bit of info about this book. Okay. And what I'm going to do is that I'm going to screenshot and make posts so that you can read it on your own, and you can make comments, you can feel free to write in comments, you know, dialoguing about it and so forth. But I just really enjoy this, and so I don't want to take from what the writer has to say about this devotional book for women. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to read it. Okay. And so the structure of this book is Women of the Bible looks at the lives of 52 prominent and not so prominent women of Scripture, offering a fresh perspective on the story of salvation. The cast of characters is long and colorful, including a parade of prostitutes, evil queens, prophetess, wealthy women, abused women, single and married women, and widows, young and old. Far from being one-dimensional characters, these are young and real women who struggle with tragedy and sometimes create it, who risk their lives and their reputation for the sake of others, whose compassion and wisdom often save the day. Even though our culture is vastly different from theirs, we share many of their emotional responses and concerns. We agonize over infertility, worry about our children, long for a little affection, strive for wisdom, and sometimes harbor doubt about God's real intention towards us. Their stories reveal so much about God's grace, His relentless love, and His creative ability to bring good out of the most desperate of circumstances. This expanded and updated edition of Women of the Bible offers our readers several improvements and changes. Recognizing that many women have been using the Wednesday studies in a group setting, all 52 studies have been reviewed and streamlined, and making them useful and relevant for groups as well as individuals. We have also added several appendices to the book to the end of this book. These index and charts often offer information and background on more of the women whose lives form such a vital part of Scripture. In order to understand the significance of these women's stories, we have developed a devotional program that will help readers reflect on the life of one woman each week for an entire year. Each devotion combines five main elements: inspiration, background information, Bible study, Bible promises, and prayer. Here's how a few weeks unfold. Monday, her story, an inspirational portrait of one woman's life. Tuesday, her life and time, background information about the culture of her day. Wednesday, her legacy in Scripture, a short Bible study on her life with application to your own. Thursday, her promise, Bible promises that apply to her life and yours. And Friday, her legacy of prayer, praying in light of her story. By focusing on each woman for five consecutive days, we hope to offer a unique devotional program, one that encourages reading, reflection, study, and prayer focus on the main female characters in the Bible. We purposely left the reading for Thursday and Friday shorter than the others in order to give you ample time for reflection and prayer. So, as you can see, that is the structure of how this book has been created for women as yourself and I to come together. And as you can see, it has been utilized in many different ways. And so I am going to just use this way and just be able to communicate with you. And let's just enjoy how we are different women in different stages of our lives, different places in our lives. And let's enjoy this study on learning the different prominent women of this Bible's of the Bible, and really be able to see how we can identify with them and really learn from that. And so I look forward to everything, that how you feel, what you're thinking, what blessed you, and so forth. So here's the good thing. If you are on live, you get to comment live, and I'll be able to answer those questions. If you're not on and you do it afterwards, we still will be able to communicate with each other in regards to this book. Okay, so here we go. And here's another thing, a question might be, can you get the book? Absolutely, you can get the book. As you can see, if you look on this page that was created for you, you will see the cover of the book, and you are welcome to order it on Amazon. This is how I got it. And I can also email it if you want it electronically. Just let me know that that's what you're looking for, okay? So let us begin. All right. So here I have, so who we're going to study about today is Eve. Her name means life-giving or mother of all who have life. Her character. She came into the world perfectly at peace with her God and with her husband, the only other person on the planet. Could you imagine just coming into a world where it's just your husband and a bunch of animals and birds and nature, and that's it? No other being? That is just totally amazing. Okay, so here we go. So she lived in paradise, possessing every pleasure imaginable. She never knew the meaning of embarrassment, misunderstanding, hurt, estrangement, envy, bitterness, grief, or guilt until she listened to her enemy and began to doubt God. That's her character. And when we think about it, you know, when we're teenagers, right? When we're these young being and we are full of life and we are who we are, and then somebody comes around and plants a seed or comes and says something so painful and so hurtful, and it begins to change the very course of our life. And that is the plan of the enemy, that he begins to do that. So that is the very thing that happened with Eve. So here's her sorrow: that she and her husband were banished from paradise and the presence of God, and that her first son was a murderer and her second son was his victim. Could you imagine going through such pain and such sorrow that you give birth to your children, you only have two, and your one son kills your other son? I could not even imagine going through such pain. But how many women do we know out there who have suffered such a pain of grief, where their child was murdered, or that their child was the murderer? They may not have had the circumstances, like Eve, where it was she had the both, where it was the murderer and the victim. But many women can identify with having their child taken from them, or they can say that my son was the murderer and have to deal with that grief also, because that also is a grief. Okay, so here's her joy. Her joy, that she had once tasted paradise and that God had promised that her offspring would eventually destroy her enemy. Wow, that is so powerful, and that is just a one sentence statement about her and about her joy. I could not imagine being in her position. It's almost, it's very overwhelming. And it's so overwhelming that I could close my eyes for a moment and really think about, wow, this is really something that's just only God can do and can bring a very imaginable joy. So overwhelming. And so this is just totally amazing, that just to think that your offspring is going to destroy the enemy, who was the very enemy who destroyed what took you out of a place of joy, took you out of that place of paradise. And see, here's the thing, as I'm thinking of this, like, wow, so automatically God came in and said, okay, you messed up, daughter. I gave you this beautiful paradise. I gave you this amazing husband. And you know, threw it away because you wanted to listen to the enemy. You disobeyed your father. You disobeyed me. But I love you so much. And because I love you so much, I'm still going to create a plan that is going to bring back the vindication to what the enemy has done in destroying your life. So I still got your back because I love you so much. Isn't that amazing? That's just so God. That is just so what he does. And I just love it. All right. So key scriptures, Genesis 1. And we're going to look at Genesis 1, verses 26 through 31. And also 2 to 4. Okay, so today is Monday. So today, Monday, we are doing the Monday study. And the Monday study says is about her story. Okay, and so the woman stirred and stretched, her skin of soft and supple as a newborn's. One's fingers, then another moved in gentle exploitation of the ground that cradled her. She could feel a warmth filling her, tickling her throat as it tried to escape, spilling out in the strong, glad noise of laughter. She felt surrounded as though by a thousand joys, and then a touch calmed her without diminishing her joy. Her eyes opened to a brightness, her ears to a voice, and then a smaller voice, echoing an elated response. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Adam took hold of her, and their laughter met like streams conveying. The man and the woman walking naked, unashamed in paradise, no shadows filled Eden, no disorder, no discord or fear. Then one day a serpent spoke to the woman. Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The woman listened. She remembered the brightness, the voice of God that had filled her with joy. Could she really be like God? Pressed hard by desire, she took the fruit and then shared it with her husband. Suddenly, darkness spread across Eden. It came not from the outside, but from within, filling the man and the woman with shadows, craving, and mystery. Order gave way to disorder, harmony to discord, trust to fear. Soon, Adam and Eve heard the sound of their Creator walking in the garden, and they hid. "Where are you, Adam?" God called. "I heard you in the garden," Adam replied, "and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Sin had driven its wedge inside their hearts, and God banished them from Eden, pronouncing judgment first on the willy serpent that had tempted the woman, and then on her and on her husband. To the serpent's curse, he had added this promise: "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman, God said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." Then God warned Adam that after a lifetime of hard labor, his strength will decrease, until his body would finally be wrapped in the dust from which God had formed him. The curse of death fell suddenly upon the new world. So Adam and his wife were forced to flee paradise, and Adam named her Eve because she would be the mother of all the living. But her firstborn, Cain, became a murderer, and her second son, Abel, is his victim. As the years passed, sorrow chased her in the heart of the first woman, and the last we see of her, we imagine her not as a creature springing fresh from the hand of God, but a woman in anguish, giving birth to another child. Her skin now stretches like worn canvas across her limbs, her hands clawed the stony ground, grasping for something to hold on to, for another anything to ease her pain. She can feel the child inside filling her, her body pressing for a way of escape. The cries of a mother and a child meet like streams, and Seth is born. Finally, with her child cradled against her breast, relief begins to spread across Eve's face. With rest, her hope returns and a smile formed, and then finally laughter rushes from her lips. Tried as she might, she cannot stifle her joy, for she remembers the brightness and the voice of the promise of God gave. Sooner or later, despite many griefs, her seed would crush the serpent. In the end, the woman would win. That is the story for Monday. So, amazing as it is, as I reflect on this, I think about, wow, the amazement of God creating the woman. And in creating her, he created her beautiful. Did you hear that? Did you hear how he created her with a softness, and how she was just so warm and beautiful? See, because God created us to be that way. That's my thought on it. He created us to be warm, sweet, loving, wonderful. He created us to be loving. And because he created us to be nurturers, loving, sweet, soft, warm, those are all ingredients to being a wonderful woman and a mother. And as you can see, it truly talks about her childbirth, giving birth to Seth. And man, I could think for a moment, if I had to reflect on one particular moment of giving birth, I remember giving birth to my youngest one, D'Anthony. Each childbirth was memorable and such a blessing. My first childborn was, I remember being so joyful. And I remember the very thing that I can always talk about was, I remember the moment they placed him in my arms. I understood childbirth, so I knew that I had to go through the labor pains. And I knew that this was something that had to happen in order for me to have a child. I understood that in my very young age. But the most memorable point was when they placed JC in my arms. And I remember looking into his beautiful brown eyes and thinking, you are mine. You're mine. And no one could take you away from me. You belong to me. And just thinking of that, like, wow, I'm so blessed to have you. You belong to me. You are of my flesh. You came from me, up out of me. Just enjoying that moment. And then my daughter was just such joy because she was a girl. And I was like, oh, I have a girl. I have a boy. I have a girl. And she's such a blessing. She was so beautiful. And she had the curliest hair and jet black hair. And she looked like a porcelain doll. And she came so quickly. And it was just, she was such a joy. And then I remember D'Anthony. And D'Anthony came. And this is my moment that I want to share. I remember going through the child delivery pain there, child bearing pains, and banging my head on the bed rail saying, oh my goodness, why? Why did I get pregnant again? Why did I say, yes, I'm going to have this child? Like, what? You know, it was like one of those moments of like, you know, because I was in a place in my life where I was like, yes, I would love to have another child. I do. I want another child. And I know that this child is going to be a true blessing in my life. And they all three of them are. But I knew that he had a particular purpose before he was even born. But I remember that moment going through that child pain where I was like, whoa, this is painful. And banging my head saying, why am I going through this? And so as I'm reading this with Eve, you know, I had support. I had someone to support me. I had people in the room with me to support me. I had a good friend with me to support me. I had a sister-in-law with me at that time and her niece that was with my niece that was there at that time. And I was able to glean from their joy of the excitement of knowing that the baby is coming. The baby is coming. And as I read this, I looked at Eve didn't have that. Eve went through this pain. And she held on to the dirt. She held on to grasping. The only thing that she could hold on to was what was around her. And the word doesn't really talk about Adam being there. It doesn't talk about him being there, caressing her, holding her as she's going through this pain by her side. So, you know, as we look about it, how do we relate to that? How do we think about in that moment of going through our childbirth time, how many of us can say our husband or our child's father was there during the time of this childbearing. How many of us have gone through that moment where we felt alone and had nothing to grasp, to hold on to, but the very things that were around us? And then later, look at your child and just hold on to me, and that is what brought you joy. And knowing that there's a promise to your child. So just as JC brought me joy as I looked at him, I had an understanding of what I was going to go through in order to have him. But seeing him brought me great joy. I did not know at that moment in my life what was going to occur in his life or in my life, or how much my life truly changed from that moment. I did not know the blessing that I had with JC, that he was created uniquely in God's eyes and for mine. And accompanying him was Brianna, and the blessing that she is and how she has brought me such joy. And then D'Anthony. And D'Anthony is a promise. He is a promise to me, because the Lord promised me that I would have a D'Anthony to assist and to bring me joy in a different level that JC and Brianna, in man's normal eyes, could not do. But I could tell you that in all those moments of having them, and from the very beginning, I had their father along the side with me, but he wasn't really all that supportive. I cannot say that it brought me comfort in such a way that I was able to sustain from that. I knew that deep down inside of me, the only thing that I could sustain and that I can really hold on to and that I can give thanks to was God. I can remember thanking God for his promises. I could remember thanking God for giving me the strength and giving me this life that he has just blessed me with, and thanking him for the gift. I remember that during those times. So as I remember that, I'm blessed, and I am a very blessed woman for the children that I have. And so I want to encourage you, as we've read this, that each child that you have had is a blessing to you. Yes, you may not have realized that in the moment of childbearing, that the things that have occurred with your child would have ever happened. In this group, there are women who have lost a child at an early age, teenage, or maybe as an adult. There are women who have had their child by themselves, and their husbands or man was not with them. And so as I read this and we talk about it, I want you to reflect. Do you see a hurt? Is there a pain from the moment that you had your child's, had your child, or the time of having your child? Was there something that predominantly hurt you so deeply that when you look at your child, it reminds you of that pain or that hurt? If so, I encourage you today to give it to Christ. Give it to God. Give it back to him. Don't hold on to it. Don't let those old wounds control you or leave scars. And if you say, well, it already has a scar, it's been there for so long, well, guess what? The same way that there is treatment for scars to be removed and to fade away, the same way God's love, peace, joy, and the power of his resurrection and believing in him can remove those scars from your wounds. Give it to God. Give him all. Give it all to him. Don't hold on to that anymore. And be free from it. Amen. Let me pray with you. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this study. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your joy. We thank you for your love. And we praise your mighty name for who you are in and through our lives. We thank you for the blessing of our children. We thank you for even the ones that you have called home. We thank you, and we thank you that you have given us strength. Lord, I ask that you will bless the women who have a hurt within their heart. Maybe they don't even realize that perhaps they still do hurt. Maybe they thought that they have dealt with it, but they haven't. And so I ask that you will bless it. Lord, for the women who have not passed through this hurt or sorrow, Lord, I ask that you will give them a revelation within their lives so that when they come across a woman who has endured such pain and such sorrow, that they will have words of exhortation and of life that they can share to them because of this study. So, Father, I thank you for what you have begun and in this process. I declare in the name of Jesus that we will increase in you and that we will be able to pour out to all that come around us because of your word and because of what we've learned from you. So until we meet again till tomorrow, Lord, and to read what else more you have for us, Lord, we bless your holy name. I bless each and every one of these women. May they be blessed and may they understand that they are deeply loved and that they walk in the favor of God and that they are so loved by you and that they have your peace and the strength of you. And so I bless them in the name of Jesus as they go on with their day. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. I love each and every one of you so much. God bless you and have an awesome day. Make it an awesome day because this is the day that the Lord has made. So rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Bye-bye.